right, you guys heard me whine about Instagram at Daily Comedy News, and you did vote for Seinfeld versus Friends. We'll do that after the break. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your Daily Comedy News. The late night host talked about baseball. Jimmy Fallon said, despite warnings from health experts, the Texas Rangers had a full crowd of more than 38,000 people for their home opener. Yeah, when they walked in, all the fans got a Dr. Fauci bobblehead that only shook its head no. Kimmel. Many of the fans were defiantly maskless. I like that adult men will go to a baseball game and wear a glove the whole game for the 1 in 98,000 chance they might catch a foul ball. But a mask? No way. Out of the question. Kimmel. They just couldn't wait to pee in a trough again. Yeah, if you are a man and you've been to Wrigley Field, let's just say, eyes straight forward, fellas. Jimmy Kimmel, you know how they kept the virus away? They did the wave and they just fanned it all the way to Arkansas. Fallon, it was a strange game. It was the first time umpires were trying to get themselves thrown out. That's great. Colbert, for those keeping score, the Rangers lost 6-2, so you can understand why the fans were excited. They only have 80 more chances this season to see the Rangers lose at home. The Daily Beast recapped other comedians just absolutely killing the debut of Gutfeld. That's Fox News's late night show entry. At the top of the show, Gutfeld said, I'm as giddy as Kamala Harris explaining kids in cages. Or Woody Allen hearing about kids in cages. Wow. The Daily Beast says from there he presented bizarre parodies of MSNBC's Brian Williams reporting from the surface of Mars, which was referencing a six-year-old media scandal. How topical. Yeah, seriously, dude, it's your first episode and you had to go 6 years back? And they also did a poorly acted mock CNN panel in which two white people accused each other of being racist. I want to be clear, I have not yet seen an episode of Gutfeld, so I'm going with what others say. For all I know, the show's awesome. You should watch it. How's that for a disclaimer? Jenna Friedman noticed that Gutfeld, did I say Gutfield? I probably did say Gutfield. I'm leaving it in. Gutfeld resembles another show, Jenna said. It's like watching a guy go through a divorce doing an impression of Bill Maher. His Bill Maher impression isn't bad. He reminds me of the boss whose jokes you're forced to laugh at. I didn't think it was bad for someone who has never done comedy, just a little bitter and angry. Former Nightly Show writer Sasha Stewart said, just because something has the cadence of a joke does not make it a joke. Oh, shoot, there goes my whole act. I'm sorry for the five staffers who make up the laugh track. I know they're staffers because it's the kind of sharp, pained laughter of a person who's barely getting paid to be there. Blair Erskine said, why does he call himself GG as if he's somebody's grandmother? Why do I feel like he's reading his opening manifesto from the teleprompter for the very first time? But more importantly, why is he white knuckle clutching a clipboard holding what appears to be a stack of empty file folders? Anthony Tamnewick, he played Donald Trump on the president's show. Anthony said, it was a confused ramble containing five-year-old reference jokes woven into a toothless meandering stand against social media and corporations that concluded with an impotent humorless sputter of self-importance. Larry Wilmore was asked to comment. His comments, no thanks. I think that's a no thanks, I decline to comment, not a no thanks, I'm not watching that crap. This is totally random because it's from 2005, but it is about late night, and I happened to see somebody on social media mention this yesterday. This from the Today Show's blog, and it was posted January 31st, 2005. David Letterman pays tribute to Johnny Carson, entire monologue filled with the late comedian's jokes. Yeah, I remember when that happened. Letterman paid tribute to Carson, who died January 23rd, 2005, by delivering a late show monologue composed entirely of jokes that Johnny Carson had quietly sent him in his final months. There were some topics Carson couldn't quite resist in retirement. Paris Hilton, and wait for this, Donald Trump's hair. Here's one of Johnny's jokes, and I won't do this justice. I'm the Gutfeld of late night jokes. Letterman set up one joke by noting scientists had been working on an airplane that flew 50 miles above the Earth. Only two man-made objects were visible at a distance. Letterman said, one is the Great Wall of China, and the other is Donald Trump's hair. Letterman said Hilton's dog Tinkerbell was missing for a few days because it was with the Taco Bell Chihuahua making a sex video. Another joke, again written by Johnny Carson, performed by David Letterman, noted Democrat John Kerry, under fire for his Vietnam service record, was criticized for throwing away some of his military service medals. Carson via Letterman, not to be outdone, President Bush threw away his National Guard spotty attendance records. One of Carson's former producers, Peter LaSalle, told Letterman the one thing Carson missed after retiring in May 92. Wow, 30 years goes fast. was the nightly monologue. Carson would read the newspapers in the morning and write jokes, often calling LaSalle and delivering them over the phone. Only after much prodding did Carson agree to send some to Letterman. LaSalle said he was delighted that Letterman did them and that the audience laughed at them. Letterman said getting a call from Carson with jokes was like Christmas morning, for God's sake. It was an indication that Carson considered Letterman his rightful heir, even though NBC chose Jay Leno as his Tonight Show successor. Again, if you have HBO Max, I haven't ponied up yet. I might do it this weekend. I wanted to do it last weekend. I had this big plan. Hey, oldest son, what if we get HBO Max and then we watch Justice League and we watch Godzilla versus Kong? We could have a nice night. And then the wife was like, oh, we're going to my sister's house for Easter. She sounds a lot like Marge Simpson, don't you think? It's weird. So no HBO Max for me, but you probably have HBO Max. See if The Late Shift is on there. It's a really cheesy, in the good way, a movie about the Letterman versus Leno thing. It's really cool. There's a book by the same name, and there's a sequel book that I read on the plane to Australia. Oh, what's that one called? You know, if only I had like some sort of search engine where I could look these things up. So that first book is called The Late Shift. It's by Bill Carter. Letterman, Leno, and the Network Battle for the Night is a 94 nonfiction book written by Bill Carter. It chronicles blah, blah, blah. You get it. The other book, the one I read on the plane to Australia, is called The War for Late Night, also by Bill Carter. You should definitely read that. The War for Late Night, you can get used here, according to the Google search engine, for $3.99 and The Late Shift for $3.99. There's also that CNN podcast that's coming out that I can't wait for, because as you can tell, I love this stuff. All right, I have found the movie. It's on HBO Max. In 1990, Johnny Carson announced he was retiring and all hell broke loose while NBC schemed, CBS dreamed. And the question on everybody's lips was, who will get Johnny's job? Jay Leno thought he deserved it. David Letterman knew he had earned it. True. And everybody else wanted a piece of the action. Kathy Bates won a Golden Globe for her performance. This movie stars Kathy Bates. John Michael Higgins, he plays David Letterman. Daniel Roebuck doing a pretty good Leno. Rich Little as Johnny Carson, Sandra Bernhard, if I recall, I haven't seen this in a while, as Sandra Bernhard. It's called The Late Shift. Check that out. And just now on Instagram at Daily Comedy News, I posted a picture of the fake Leno and Letterman, and I put a note that says, this is what I'm talking about tomorrow when you hear me say I just posted. See, we've gone full circle there. Where were we? Oh, yeah, Letterman had said getting a call from Carson with jokes was like Christmas morning, for God's sake, and it was an indication that Carson considered Letterman his rightful heir. Letterman played a poignant clip from a few years after Carson's retirement. Carson had walked on stage to deliver Letterman's top 10 list, and Letterman motioned to have him sit behind the desk. I remember this moment. It was so great. Carson did so, and he beamed back in the driver's seat and soaking up a standing ovation. But before saying anything, he shook his head, smiled, and walked off stage. Yeah, Johnny was like, should I do this? Should I do this? No, I can't. And he walked off. Going out on top is something that Carson felt super important. He felt some comics, Bob Hope and Jack Benny in particular, stayed on past their prime, and he didn't want to do that, according to Peter LaSalle. He said he knew he wanted to be remembered as he was at the top of his game. And if you think about it, you have no memory of Johnny Carson past his prime. He hid out. Letterman said, the reason we're all doing Johnny's Tonight is because you think, well, if I do Johnny's Tonight show, maybe I'll be a little like Johnny and people will like me more. But it sadly doesn't work that way. It's just if you're not Johnny, you're wasting your time. Johnny Carson was like a public utility. At the end of the day, you wanted him to be there. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. That's the podcast that I'm the writer for. On Palace Intrigue, we talk about the royal family. And by the royal family, I mean Meghan Markle and Harry. You live in the world. You know what's going on with Meghan and Harry and Oprah and the royals. It is wonderful. I always describe it like season 17 of The Crown in real time. Every time you're like, how are we going to get another episode? Because we do this every weekday, 5 days a week. That one's only five. This one's seven over here, but that one's only five. And every time it's like, well, what are we going to talk about? Something happens. Today's episode is all about a wonderful rant by Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is like the MVP of Palace Intrigue because every time it gets boring, he throws a rock in Meghan's direction and gets a lot of attention. I love it. Meghan, if you are listening to me right now, please go on Oprah once a week because you really spike the numbers. Like, you can't go on Oprah enough as far as I'm concerned. So that's called Palace Intrigue. If you like royals and gossip or you like The Crown, check it out. It's like 5-6 minutes a day. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. All right, so I whined on yesterday's podcast, and I was like, how come nobody's voting on Instagram at Daily Comedy News? I just want to feel like Friends or Seinfeld. Nobody was voting, and I was feeling kind of sad. But everybody jumped on there and made me feel good. I heard from Lori Terrell White, Lori has picked Seinfeld. So it's 1-0 Seinfeld. And Lori said, I download Palace Intrigue and Daily Comedy News before leaving my house to my Spotify playlist, and that's my commute. Thanks for making my drive tolerable. You are very welcome. And let me thank you for listening to me. I really appreciate it. It's seriously, you know, when you're sitting here in the basement muttering to yourself and your kids are like, why is dad in his office just talking to himself? He's crazy. It's nice to know somebody's out there actually listening. Jerry McLean commented, Seinfeld for sure. Soup Nazi is still my favorite episode and I don't have one for Friends. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Soup Nazi is so, so funny. And the Frothcast says, Seinfeld all the way. What's the deal with Friends? Should I go in a half-ass Jerry Seinfeld? All right, so what are you going to do? You got to go to Instagram. It's at Daily Comedy News. You vote for Seinfeld or Friends. It's not hard. Instagram, at Daily Comedy News. From Kiss 95.1, Dave Chappelle says Donald Trump got a not-so-warm welcome from celebrities when Donald Trump moved into the White House. In a new interview with Naomi Campbell, why, the comedian recalls one of the last big parties Barack Obama threw at the White House before Trump became president. Chappelle said he laughed, quote, real hard, unquote, when he saw news coverage about Obama staff leaving dirty notes in all the drawers and cabinets at the White House before Trump moved in. Chappelle's not naming names, but he said he personally witnessed celebrities leaving the notes, writing, quote, all this crazy S and putting them all over the White House. Back when the notes like, you will fail, were making headlines, Obama aides called it another bold-faced lie. But thanks to Dave Chappelle, now we know the truth, I guess. Donald Trump speaking the truth. You mean celebrities? Let's see who was at the party. I'm all over the Google today. Let's see. Celebrities, Obama, White House, party. Oh, this is fun. I found this on Vogue. All right. Here are some of the celebrities who were at Obama's last White House party. Who do you think left the notes? Do you think it was Paul McCartney? I could see Paul McCartney doing that, can't you? Paul McCartney's hanging out at the White House with the Obamas, and he's like, I'm going to leave a nasty note in someone's desk. Probably Paul McCartney. Or maybe it was Meryl Streep. Do you think Meryl Streep did it? Magic Johnson, Chance the Rapper, Bradley Cooper. Do you think Bradley Cooper did it? Common, Usher, Robert De Niro. You know, it probably was Robert De Niro. I don't know anything. It wouldn't surprise me if it were Robert De Niro. Robert, did you do it? Robert De Niro, you are welcome to come on the show and comment. All right, I wanted to tell a story from my past today. This is random. It is comedy related. So I have mentioned that I used to program the comedy channels at SiriusXM. One channel in particular, I was extra, extra fond of it. That was the Raw Dog channel. That's where we could do wacky things. So we used to get these call reports, and it would tell us how many people had called into a particular show during a particular hour. It wasn't quite ratings, but it kind of gave you, you know, a vague feeling for how many people were into something. For example, say you had an Instagram contest where you're asking people Friends versus Seinfeld and you didn't get a lot of response. You'd be like, ah, that's not working as well as some other things. So if you saw a show got a lot of calls, you're like, all right, you know, people are into that. Now you can always game the system. You can give away t-shirts or you could do trivia and, you know, spike your caller numbers. But it was a rough metrics that you could look at. So one day I'm reading the call report and I see something called Sounds from Space got a ton of calls. So I go over to my friend Kara and I'm like, Kara, what is Sounds from Space? What is this show? And why is Sounds from Space on the Catholic channel? And why is it getting so many calls? And then she laughs and realizes it's a typo. The show's actually called Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic channel, and it got a lot of calls. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense now. However, because I'm a jerk, I'm going to make a show called Sounds from Space. So here's what we did. And I was actually laughing about this yesterday with my top lieutenant from the comedy department back in the day. We created Sounds from Space. And what we did was we had a comedian named Mike Weingartner. Hi, Mike. Do a character called Fake Carl Sagan. And Fake Carl Sagan is exactly what you would think it would be. It was a guy going billions and billions of blah, 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 you know, a Carl Sagan impression. Mike was pretty good at it. And then he would talk about space and take calls. And then we decided, let's just book guests. And here's where the funny comes in. We booked real guests. When I was talking to Rory, who was my top lieutenant, yesterday, he reminded me that Buzz Aldrin did the show. Buzz Aldrin actually walked on the moon. Like, that's like pretty manly. Hi, I've been to the moon and I walked on it. And now I'm sitting in a studio with Fake Carl Sagan talking about space. We also had on David Duchovny, and I remember I was trying to find the clip yesterday. Duchovny said to fake Carl Sagan, "I don't think you need to say fake Carl Sagan," but I can't find the clip. And we also had on physicist Michio Kaku. You've seen him on like every show on the History Channel, Discovery Channel, talking about space. And he did the show as well. You can actually find that clip on the interwebs. I'll throw it in the show notes just so you could see. So that was Sounds from Space. Ridiculous. Fake Carl Sagan was one of my favorite characters. Another thing we had Mike do one time was the host of the Midday Request Show was off, and we had Mike do the show as German guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark. And he was like, "You mean General Tote?" I'm like, no. That's not funny. You have to be German guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark. So he got on the air and did an impression of the German guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know who I'm talking about. And just said, "Hi, I'm German guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark." And he took requests. And that was it. He didn't do any like comedy on top of that. It was just like, why is German guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark hosting the show today? Why not? The one bit that we never did that I wanted to do is I wanted to have a Nigerian scammer host the show one time and offer to take your requests in exchange for you sending a check for $10,000, but nobody on my team liked that joke, so we never did that one. We did one time, it was Talk Like a Pirate Day, and about, I don't know, 42 minutes into the regular show, we had a bunch of pirates invade the studio and just take over and then finish out the show as ridiculous pirates. That's another thing we did. And well before The Walking Dead was cool, we used to do Raw Dog Zombies. And what was Raw Dog Zombies? It was the regular format, except instead of speaking, the host would just go. So it'd be like if you tuned in tomorrow and I did Daily Comedy News Zombies and the entire show was me just going. Stupid, but that's my sense of humor. That's your comedy news for today. Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Friends versus Seinfeld. Come on, you got to vote. And you should follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get shows. See you tomorrow.